God is good, yeah? Well, listen, I wanted to share some things. What's the story with prophecy? And prophecy is over centuries has been debated. Is it for today? Is it not for today? And if it is for today, which way is it used? There's not actually many believe in the fact that prophecy is not for today, would you believe it? Like, people that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit will say, and rightly so, that the Word of God being preached is prophecy. It's prophetic in nature because the Word of God is. So there's not really that, but when it comes down to God speaking to you and you declaring what God has to say, now there's a bit of, you know, controversy because gifts like this is being used and it's been abused over years and years. But just because something's being abused doesn't mean it's not truth. And just because people have mishandled that, that doesn't mean God wants you or I to be expressing this gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what 2 Peter 1:21 says. For prophecy never has its origin in human nature, in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I love this scripture. Prophecy has not got its origin in the human will, but prophets, though they were human, spoke from God as they were carried along, identifying our humanity, but also that the origin of every prophetic word to be true and to be right has to be, its origin has to be from God. So a simple definition of prophecy is hearing and declaring God. Hearing God and declaring what He has to say in a given situation, a given circumstance, or even over a nation or over a community. And in defining this, like, people go, well, how, like, you know, how do you hear God? What way do you hear God? Is it an audible voice? Well, we're all different. And we all, some of us are feelers. I feel a word, or I feel something, or some of us are thinkers, or some of us are readers of the word, and the word stands out to us. Some of us are that we sense things. And God has made us in all different ways, or the thought comes to our mind, which is mostly, for me, the way God would speak to me. And the first thought is usually God, because I've now tested it over a period of 27 years, and the times when I've stepped out in it, and it was God, because it's risky, to step out, and the times that I did, it was God, something happened. If God speaks, there's a result. There's something that's on the other end of God speaking, whether it's a prophecy for the moment or whether it's foretelling something that's going to happen in the future, there's always a result when God speaks to us. So you might say, well, I get this, when I'm praying, I get a thought to pray for something. It's usually for me, my first thought when I'm praying is God. The second thought is usually the enemy, because there is an enemy. And the third one is usually myself. And the fourth, when I get it, the second one tries to say it's not God, and when it's myself, I seem to agree with the second voice and not with the first voice. Yeah, that can't be God. Oh, that's me. I just made that up. All these things that we've said. But God does speak, and He knows how He's to get His word to you. The way only He would know, that you would know that it's Him. Whether it's a dream, whether it's a vision, whether it's anything to do with hearing God. He knows how you feel, how you operate, what makes you think, what makes you tick over as a person, and He knows how to get His word to you. I remember someone saying recently that I haven't got full confidence that I can hear God, but I have a full confidence that God can get His word to me. Do you hear me? That I'm saying, oh Lord, is that really you? I haven't always got confidence in that I can hear God, but I have confidence in that He can get His word to me. And that leaves me in the place of trust. And prophecy can be seen in two different ways, as I was saying there. There's prophecy that is foretelling, which means telling the future that something is going to happen. When you read through the Old Testament, you will see time and time again them foretelling about this event that we're going to celebrate in this month, foretelling the birth of the Christ, foretelling the life of the Christ, foretelling where He would be born, everyone that was going to be involved, foretelling a little girl called Mary, foretelling about shepherds, all the stuff. You can see that the prophet spoke of then, and even not just that far in the future, King Josiah, the prophecy about the work he was going to do for God was given like 200 years prior to him even being born. About the work that Josiah was going to do. So that is foretelling. And then there's foretelling, meaning dealing with the here and now. Dealing with, God has given me a word for you. God has given me something that is going to change your life. And so there's little scriptures that I really want us to focus in on. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says we can all prophesy. Paul encouraged the church to prophesy. He says to them in Corinthians, which was a great church. Corinthians is my favorite church in the New Testament. They were nuts. They were just absolutely. Paul is correcting them all of the time. They were speaking in tongues. They were torn. Everybody wanted to prophesy at the same time. When they were having communion, some weren't waiting on the others and going ahead and having meals. And Paul always seemed telling them how to dress right, how the women, will you ever be quiet? He was addressing them all in certain ways only because of this. Not because they were bad, but because they were new believers experiencing the things of the Holy Spirit, and Paul was only bringing order. In Galatians, they got all religious, and Paul calls them fools. But he never once calls them fools in Corinthians, even though it seems like the maddest things where someone was going off with their mother-in-law. It was like a soap opera going on there, and I was like, who would go with their mother-in-law for crying out loud? Anyway, it was just one of those churches, and Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. He goes, go after love, do everything in the way of love, eagerly desire all of the gifts, but go after prophecy especially. And then he goes on and says to him, for you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace, and in all the congregation of the Lord's people. And Paul says again to them in Corinthians 14:5, says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you would all prophesy. Wow, because here's some of the things. Paul says prophecy is for building up, for strengthening, and for edification. Tongues is for edification of self, yeah, of me. Like, I get into a place of praying in tongues and I'm built up. But he says, I'd rather you all prophesy. Why? Because the body is being built up. You're being strengthened. You're being comforted in some way. And in Acts chapter 2, this is what the prophecy is, that your sons and daughters will see, have visions and dreams and all this stuff, and prophesy. That we are a prophetic people just by nature of being born of the Spirit of God. And the purpose of prophecy. So I want to just establish, who can prophesy? Everyone. Do we all prophesy? No. Does God want us to prophesy? Now, I'm not saying to stand up and go, start speaking in King James language or something like this, or be some weird person. God can give you the language. He'll give you the word to be interpreted in the language that you're involved in, whether it's in the job, or whether you're not going to stand up in the job and say, just say it to the Lord. I have a word from the second letter of Corinthians, of Paul. Your mates be going, would you shut up, you dope? You weren't talking like that at lunch. We can all prophesy, Paul says. Paul says, I want you to desire that. I want you to desire to hear from God. I want you to desire to speak the things of God. I want you to create environments. When you speak, there's a whole different environment created by words that you hear from God. When God says, let there be light, there was light. God's word in his mouth made light. God's word in your mouth can make the same, because it's God's word. So we can all prophesy, and the purpose of prophecy is to reveal the mind of God, is to reveal the heart of God to individuals or even nations. Write this scripture down, Ezekiel 37. We're all probably familiar with it. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. What a great scripture. And in the Valley of Dry Bones, it says stuff like this, that the word of the Lord came to me. Whoa. The word of the Lord came to me. And you see that all during scripture, and the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came, and God spoke, and you see that, and everywhere God spoke, something happens. Everywhere God speaks, there's an event, or there's an event to come. Either it's there or not there. And in this situation, God has the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy over the nation. He starts seeing Israel as like a valley of dead bones, of just a valley. He gets brought by the Holy Spirit into the valley, and he sees the dry bones, and God says to him, say this to the bones. Now, if that's just you or me, and it's not, we're not hearing God, and we're just declaring something that we wish, well, there's going to be no change in the bones. But if you hear God and you start praying that, or prophesying that, or preaching that, or declaring that in your own life, I guarantee you, if God says it, something is going to happen. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord brought me out, and he said, speak to the dry bones. And he didn't say a prayer. Some of your prayers and my prayers have to go from being petitions to prophecy. Some of our prayers have to go from just prayers to prophesying the will of God into circumstances and situations, into our nation, because God is going to use some of you and is going to use some of us to speak into towns and cities and communities, show us stuff that's going on, and he's going to say, I want you to start speaking out where I'm showing you. I'd get an amen, man, if I was in the morgue. Come on. And he gets him to speak over the future of Israel. That you may feel broken, you may be disjointed. But when he spoke the word of God, there was a rattle. See, when you speak the things of God, things start to rattle, things start to move, things start to take shape. You might even see them, but if it's the word of God, you can bet your bottom dollar that God was at work to make sure that his word is brought to performance. That's what the Bible says. You mightn't see it, but listen for sounds. Listen, look for signs. Oh, there's a bit of a rattle. Oh, they never said that before. Oh, I never heard them say that on the news. And you'll start to see signs, and he starts speaking to the bones. And here's the other thing about, he didn't say, dear Lord, make these bones live. When he heard God, he spoke to them as if it was God speaking to them. It's different. It wasn't like now, oh, dear Lord, bring those bones together. He says, Ezekiel, you tell them. And the Spirit of God was on him. The Spirit, the unction is an old word. The anointing of God, the empowerment, equipment, enablement of God was on him to speak and declare the very words of God to those bones. And those bones start to come together. And what stood before him in the end was a vast army. An army of valor, a valiant army, a mighty army. And he's saying, this is the future. They're going to come out of our graves. They're going to come out of all their tombs. And they're going to rise up as a mighty army. That God will have us at times speaking to the nation. Speaking to situations and circumstances that when we see on the news and we have a thought and we just think that's any old thought, but it might be God for you to pray exactly what he wants prayed at that moment over the nation. There's a prophecy. What happens with prophecy as well? It releases the gift of faith. There's a connection when you hear God and you declare God, that faith is kicked off. Not this type of faith, I must believe, or I have to believe. Not that type of faith, like a gift. Like God gives you and you supernaturally believe God's going to do something, even though all the circumstances might say the opposite. You go, no, God told me. And you have an assurance in your spirit with the gift of faith. But prophecy can release that in you. The gift of prophecy can release that in your life, that this is what God's saying, and supernaturally there's an impartation of God, because he gets all the glory in the end. That we believe, no, God said it, and I don't care what anyone says. I didn't know this, but I think I spoke a word of prophecy into my own life one time. And it fell out of my mouth. And it sounds simple, but it had a profound effect on me. We were doing the great big day out about 3 or 4 years ago up in the Liberties area. And it was lashing. I don't know if you remember, if you can look it up, but it was raining for weeks on end. And so our big day out was going to be, like, you know, the community event that we do up in the park, that was going to be on the Saturday. And it was forecast for rain forever and a day, right? And I was like, so anyway, I was up in a certain radio station, and they were interviewing me about the great big day, or about something anyway. No, it wasn't even about that, it was about something else. And the guy that was hosting it says, you're going to cancel your event. He knew the event was on. And I was like, no, I'm not cancelling the event. Why would I cancel that? He said, it's forecast for rain. This same rain. I don't know. I'll find out the year for you. But it was raining for weeks and weeks. It was, I think your woman had a, or what you call it, what's her name? Rihanna had that song, Umbrella. Do you remember? Like, it rained for 11 weeks or something. We heard in our song. And so anyway, it was that time, whenever that was, right? And so anyway, I was up there and your man says, no, but it's going to rain. I says, but it's not going to rain on Saturday. Now, I don't know why I said this. I wish I could say it to you. I heard God, and I start declaring it. I know it was God now because of the result. But your man says, well, it's going to rain. I says, it's not going to. And he says, why is it not going to rain? And I said, it's not going to rain. This event's going to go ahead because God loves my community. Now, I don't know why I said that. I'm not a weather forecast man. I'm not nothing. But it fell out of my mouth. So anyway, while he was waiting on the song to finish, he gets on BBC Met Office on the computer, which is supposed to be the best in the world. And he now saying to me before the song finished, look, even BBC weather forecast men are saying this. I says, I don't care what they're saying. I'm just saying that it's not going to rain. Something like that. I probably wasn't that brave or bold either, but it was them words. And so anyway, at the end of the interview, he says to me, National Radio, by the way, your event, it was like, I think he was trying to prove an event. Or he said, Noel has this big event on, da, 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 and he said it's not going to rain. Is not right now. Honestly, I thought I could see my hand reaching over, grabbing his head with his headphones on and banging his face off the thing. Because I'm like, what is he up to? He is putting me on the spire. And I, so anyway, it was too late. I was in for a penny now, I was in for a pound. I was like, look, it's not going to rain. That date, whatever it was, it is going to be sunshine. So anyway, here's how bad it was. Our team that was organising our D Street said, no, we need an alternative venue. We're not getting an alternative venue. But it's going to rain. The weather forecast, we are not getting an alternative venue. I had to say to Sharon, if you mention rain again, you're going out with my home. Because it got into a point where it was like, no, it's not. Don't even say rain. Don't wear a raincoat around me that week. Nothing. It is not going to rain, right? So anyway, I picked a fella called Michael McNamee on the Saturday up at 9:30 in the morning. This was the kickoff at 12. He picks him up at the airport and he goes, when is the event on? I says, today. What time? 12 o'clock. No, let's book it in down. Michael, it's not going to rain. The team were freaking. I want to tell you, when we started our event, a square of sunshine came over that area. Absolutely. Was anyone there? Wait, you put it behind. Wasn't it? People came away with sunburn. I wanted to go back to that radio station and say, see you. What am I saying? That somehow, I don't know how God put those words in my mouth, but I know the way it is. I didn't know. I thought it was sunshine everywhere in our community. The people that were going over to get water said they looked back and it was just a square over Air Place, like where we were having this event. It was raining on each side of the thing, and Air Place was, we went home with sunburn in our face. I don't know what God done. I'd love to say, no, this is what God told me, and I just declared it. But it wasn't like that. It fell out of my mouth, and it turned out that faith was stored in my heart. The gift of faith was like, it's not going to happen. No one could unconvince me it wasn't going to rain. And God wants to put stuff in your heart to release faith. Here's what someone says to me about our nation. And this is like 100 prophecies now. It's like that God is going to set this nation on fire. Every little town and hamlet and village and city is going to have people come to know Jesus, which means our people that don't know Jesus. This is the prophecy. Is going to come to know Jesus, that the nation's going to be set on fire, that they've seen an overview of the nation and there's fires everywhere. Started off with a little few, but again the end when God was finished was nations, or the nation was on fire, and then God was going to take us like an arrow and he was going to dip us into the fire and fire us into Europe, that we get the chance to go into the world again as a nation, and we go into Europe and we plant churches and we start reaching out to people and we reach the nation again with the gospel. I don't know about you, but I've heard that 100 times, but when I hear it again and again and again, something in me stirs up. Yes, this is true, this is right, that this, I can see bones rise. I can hear noises of things coming together, but I'm looking forward to the day when this nation is set on fire and we're sent down. That God wants you and I to prophesy into the nation, and not only prophesy into the nation, but into your life and into your circumstances. One of my favorite stories, prophecy is to call out, the part of prophecy is to call out the treasures that's in your heart. That God will give you a word for someone else. Now look, I know you've way buried this. Before Saul was king in 1 Samuel, he's minding donkeys or something. And his donkeys get lost. You never want to lose the donkeys. He was a donkey herder, and he gets lost. And as they were going looking for the donkeys, they said, where are we going to find the donkeys? And someone says, why don't you go and see Samuel, who was the prophet of God, a seer. That's what he was called, a seer. Sees things in the spirit. And so anyway, they go up, and the long story short, Samuel's walking out of town, and they said, do you know where the prophet is? And he goes, I'm the seer. I'm the one you're looking for. God had spoke to him the day before that he was going to send someone by that he was to anoint him king. And he says, and as he's talking to him, he says, I know the donkeys is on your mind. Don't worry about them, they'll be found. But tomorrow I'm going to tell you what's in your heart. What a great little, switch of words. That what was on his mind
was the donkeys. What was in his heart was kingship. That God has something for you. And I'm going to start calling that out with you. And you and I might think, well, this is my, I'm just a donkey herder. And God says, yeah, that's what's on your mind. That's what you might do physically. But I've put something deep in you. And prophecy, that's why Paul says, I want you all to prophesy. So that we start calling it out, right? And then the next day he says to Samuel, I says to Saul, so Saul, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be king. He gets a flask and pours it over my head. You're going to be the next king. Saul was like, what? This can't be true. And he says, and by the way, Saul, as you walk down, you're going to go to come near a tree near a place called Tabor. When you get there, he says, a band of prophets, like, it's going to come down the hill. And all the prophets came down playing lyres and harps and different instruments, because worship carries, worship creates the atmosphere for prophecy to be released. And so they're coming down and they're all prophesying, and they get the Saul. What does Saul start doing? Prophesying with them. He became like one of the prophets and started prophesying. And he says, when you go there and you hear them, that's going to be proof to you that God is in on this. And listen to what it says. Listen, that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 10. You can read it for yourself. Hello. And he joined in prophesying. I didn't put that bit down. But this is what it says, that he joined in prophesying. And when he walked away, he became a changed man. That God changed his heart to align with what was in God's heart. That one word, one prophecy, turns a life around. Turns a man around. Turns a future around. A destiny around. No wonder Paul says, I want you all to be like this. I want you all to prophesy. The word of the Lord is in your mouth and is in my mouth. And God wants to release it into the lives of other people. Listen to what he said. What Paul says to Timothy. Do not neglect the gift, your gift, which was given to you through prophecy. When the body of elders lay their hands on you. That the laying on of hands and prophecy releases the gifts of God into your life and into my life. I'm like, no wonder. Like, we can't be an anemic church. We can't settle for being a church that is not of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And like, because our battle's not against flesh and blood. And most of us are fighting battles that are spiritual with human ability. And it will never work. We will never get what we need if we're going to fight something in the spirit with carnal weapons. That we have to go in, Holy Spirit, we can have every gift of the Holy Spirit, anything we need for a given situation, the Holy Spirit wants to work in our life. We deal with the spiritual realm with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we deal with people with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You with me? We deal with spiritual things with, like, going after them, sometimes forcefully, sometimes praying the right through, sometimes standing in the gap, sometimes doing warfare, sometimes going in like a warrior that you are. But when you're with the person, it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, self-control. We fight spiritual battles. We come against flesh with flesh, and all we produce is a baby of contentment and fleshly stuff. But when we fight what is not flesh and what's spiritual with spiritual gifts that we've been given, we will see the birth of God's promises. Amen. In finishing, Paul says, do not show contempt to prophecies. Do not throw away. Do not dismiss what God puts in your mind and in your heart. Take a hold of them afresh. What's God already said? Take a hold of them afresh and start speaking them. And start creating and start calling the future to the now. Not wait until, if it happens, it happens. No, that we start speaking in and we start calling forth that which God has called us to do. When David killed Goliath, I thought this was one of the greatest prophetic acts that I've seen. And David kills Goliath, and what he does is he cuts off his head, you know, just like a normal Sunday afternoon or something, cuts off his head, walks with the head in his hand. Can you imagine this young upstart, like, after killing Goliath, 17 years of age probably, all the mighty warriors, like, they all cowered off, the king Saul cowered off, and David walks up, no, I'll take the giant, sure, the God that was with me in the field with the bear and the lion, sure, we'll do him as well. And he goes up, and he takes Goliath's head, and he walks up to Jerusalem with the head. Now, Jerusalem was under the control of the Jebusites or something. It didn't belong to the Jewish people at the time. And he walks up with the head, and he stands there and he looks, and he walks away. Do you know what he was doing? He was walking up to the next place and going, look, I know I'm not in there, but I will be there soon. He was going up prophesying, I took the head off this and I'm going to open your gate. In fact, what he was doing was taking his heart prophetically and throwing it into the future. And he was saying to his own heart, I will catch up with you because God has put it in my heart that Jerusalem will be a place where singing and praise and worship of God will be renowned for. And you have things in your heart. And today, if nothing else, I want you to reach in and take them and throw them out. Say, I'll catch up with you. I know I will have victory because God told me. I know I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That God has called some of us to pray for bread in a real way. In a real way. In a way that causes atmospheric shifts in the spiritual realm. One prayer that is inspired under the power of the Holy Spirit causes bones to come together. And we can be shouting at them. Whatever we want in protest, but one word of prophecy can bring it all down. We can protest against the government. One word from God can bring even the government to their knees to repent, because it's all in the scriptures. You with me? So let's stand. And God has given you promises. I want you to look at those promises today. And don't treat them with contempt. They're from God. Words that he's given you. Prophecies that has been released over your life. Prophecies that release gifts in your life that you've now left to the side. I'm just calling you to pick them up. We need you. We need you. We need your gift. We need the promises of God that is embedded in your heart. And I call them to the fore today in Jesus' name. You're not just a donkey herder, you're a king. You're a priest. You're a prophet, a prophetess. You're a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. I call you not to just settle, but to reach into God and lean into God afresh. Lord, I want you. I want your ways. I want your plan. Daniel was prophesying. What was prophesied about Israel? Daniel spent years and years and years and years and years praying that prophecy to come to pass. Some of us have to get back on our knees again and pick back up the words that God has given us and get back in the race and start praying towards that person, that place, that situation again. And the angel came to Daniel and he says, Daniel, you're praying and the answer was intercepted because there's powers and principalities and demonic forces against God's plan being fulfilled. And listen to what he says. You can read it for yourself in Daniel. He says, but when the enemy came against us and the prince of Persia came to intercept the word that I was supposed to bring, he was a messenger, he was the declaring angel Gabriel. So he says, when we were intercepted, this is what he says, read it. We called on your angel. Your angel. And your angel came, Michael. And he sorted out the spiritual realm. What you were praying, he was sorting it out in the spiritual realm. And we could break through and bring the word to you. That there's powers and principalities against you fulfilling what God has for you. And we have to be aware of it. But here's the word where we take heart. That your angel, that God has commissioned angels over the word that he's spoken to your life. He's put angels in charge. And when we declare and we prophesy and speak out what God has said to us, well, then we're releasing the angelic host to fulfill and make sure that God's will is fulfilled. And if the enemy can keep her silent... Someone says to me last week, I pray at home, but I don't pray out loud, just in my head. Stop praying in your head. Start declaring what God has said to you. Start creating your environment that you can walk out on. Start creating your future by prophesying the word of God. And Father, I pray for each one of us today. I pray that we pick back up the mantle. I pray that you would strengthen us, O God. That you would put steel in our back, O God. You'd put your sword in our hand, O God. That, Lord, that you'd give us a glimpse afresh of the future, Lord God, of what we're praying for, or what we're looking into, Lord, or what we want to see happen in our city and in our communities and in our towns and in our nation, oh God. I pray, Father, that you would take us up to the mountaintops and the hillsides, oh God, and that we would see into the valley, oh God, and we would hear your voice saying, this is what I want you to pray into. I pray, Father, that our ears would be open and our eyes would be open to see and to hear you, Lord. Lord, we don't want what man has, we want what you have. We don't want good ideas, we want God ideas. We don't want just nice prayers, oh God. We want prayers that penetrate and impact, oh God. Father, there's people that we're praying for, our loved ones that we're praying for, Lord God. Father, would you just speak a word of faith into each heart, oh God. Lord, just encourage, Lord God, the prayer element, oh God. Encourage, Lord. Show us the power, Lord God. Lord, when we speak something out in your name, Lord, or what we've heard from you. Father, I pray for spiritual dreams and visions to be refreshed and something fresh in our midst in Bray, oh God. I pray the testimony of Jesus would be rife. I pray, Father, that we would be not afraid, or Lord, that you would baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit with boldness, oh God. That, Lord God, that we wouldn't be afraid, we wouldn't be mixed up in our head, but we would have such clarity, we have such insight and understanding that we'd be speaking to each other. This is what I feel God has to say to you. Yet test it, yet make sure it builds up, strengthens, and edifies. But that we don't get so weary, we don't get so timid that we don't even speak the word of God and the prophecies of God that we have for each other. So would you just put your hand on the person's shoulder beside you, if that's okay. And this is where I want us to ask the Lord. Lord, have you got something for me to give me for this other person? Now, remember, first thought. Every thought, every word has to line up with God's character and God's word. Not just God's word alone, but God's character as well. Lord, have you got something for me to give to this person? Because, Lord, I could speak in tongues, but it's better I prophesy to edify and build up and strengthen. The purpose of it is to build up the church, to see God's will be done, to declare God's mind. Who can do this? All of us. So I release you in the name of Jesus into new dimensions of working with the Holy Spirit in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. The Lord brought something back to me. Just forgive me for 1 minute. This can be pointed, and who you are, you'll know what this means, but it could be for many. That Jezebel's downfall and the impact that Jezebel had on Israel was prophesied by Elijah. And Elisha comes into his office and he sees what Elijah had prophesied. And some of us have prayed prayers and you haven't seen the breakthrough. But I want to tell you, you will see the breakthrough. And your children will see the breakthrough. And the people that you are praying for will see the breakthrough. Where Elijah prophesied, others seen it with their own eyes. Not the person, we deal with people with the fruits. But in the spiritual realm, God is going to show you afresh the effects and the impact of Jezebel will be broken, and that others will see it with their own eyes. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, faith to arise in our hearts, oh God, that we serve an awesome God, a great God, a magnificent God who loves his people, loves to strengthen us. So what God has given you, if you have something, will you be just bold enough to give it to that person? And then we can have a cup of tea and go to Starbucks. Amen.